Good morning. Today's Daf Megillah Chafei. We are concluding today the third parak of the Masechta. So we start with the Mishnah with the very bottom of Chav Dalman Beis. Last Mishnah Chav Dalman Beis. The Mishnah starts off. Ha'amar Yivarech Tovim or is Derech Amina. So this is a parak that's dedicated to the topic of Kriya Satorah. And so in the course of Kriya Satorah, so not only did we discuss the various halachas regarding aliyahs and brachas, and which one of the olim should make brachas. But on top of that also, we talked about other events that occur in the shul. So the fact that we require a minyan, that was discussed a couple of days ago. The relationship between the Torah and the Half Torah, that's pretty much what we discussed in yesterday's daf. The role of the maturgam, the one who translates the Torah, which unfortunately we no longer have nowadays, or fortunately, depending on what your perspective is, but it's unfortunate in that the whole purpose of the maturgam is so that we'd understand what's happening. So obviously that's better. So over the course of that, so we talked about overlift ne'ateva. Somebody's going to be davening for the Amid. The reason why we got up onto that topic is because as long as we were talking about haftorah, so back in the day, if you got maftir, you got haftorah. So it was not exactly viewed as the biggest covenant in the shul. In fact, back in the good old days, so it was viewed as a pretty low-level kavod. So the person needed a little bit of consolation, so he got consolation prizes. One of the consolation prizes that was that the Baal Maftir got is that he got the daven for the Amud. So and then we went on to discuss a couple of things regarding people that are going up to daven for the Amud. You have to be careful about their general hashkafas. They have to be hashkafically aligned. If they have silly hakpadas, is what we talked about at the end of yesterday's daf. If they have silly hakpadas, you have to be weary, because they could be sectarian. They could be part of the, not of the mainstream, but they could be having really foreign ideas regarding Yiddishkeit. And so those are the topics that we were discussing. So as long as we're on the topic of overlift ne'ateba, someone who's davening for the Amud, so a couple of other halachas regarding this person who's davening for the Amud. It's going to be clear, it has been clear, and it's going to be clear, that not everything was as black and white and as standardized as it is now. Nowadays, everything's standardized. Which haftorah we're going to be reading? So that's extraordinarily standardized. Granted, there are different minhagim, right? What was it, last week or 2 weeks ago? Mom is two different haftorahs for Ashkenazim and Sephardim. So, but nevertheless, though, whichever minhag you follow, so it's pretty standardized. But in the time of the Mishnah, in the time of the Mishnah and the Gemara, not everything was so standardized in terms of which haftarah you say. So it sounds like you could, as long as it's thematically appropriate, you could choose which haftarah you're going to say. Remember yesterday we talked about the idea that you can't skip too much, meaning you can't jump around too much in the Navi. You can't go from one Navi to another Navi, even within one Navi. If the jump that you're going to make is going to take too long and it's going to be and there'll be dead time while you're rolling the scroll, so that's no good. But you certainly get the impression in yesterday's daf that there is room for choosing which haftarah you want to do. Again, I'm assuming it has to be thematically appropriate. With that stated, that's not only true regarding the haftarahs, but to a certain degree also davening as well, meaning that there was a little bit of ad-libbing that was done on the part of the Sheikh Sibor. And so what we're going to learn together in the Mishnah is that there's certain ad-libbing which is just simply off-limits, meaning you're not allowed to ad-lib the following because of, and we'll see as the Gemara is going to go on to explain, what exactly are the problems, what are the reasons why these particular ad-libs in davening are simply unwelcomed. Again, for us, everything is standardized, so there's no Sheikh Sibor who's going to consider going up there and waxing poetic. So the poetry is already provided. But meanwhile, that's the perspective the Mishnah is coming from. With that stated, let's start with the Mishnah. So ha'omer yivrecha tovim hareze derech haminus. So if you say, you probably hear a reference to the Sheikh Sibor. So if you say yivrecha tovim, so that's minus, that's considered heresy. Now, yivrecha tovim, what exactly does that mean? Well, what it means is that the good should bless you. Rashi says, what's the minus over here? The minus is basically, Akash Baruch Hu, I'm only davening on behalf of the good people here in the Tzibur. And as far as the Rishayim are concerned, I'm not speaking on their behalf. Okay. And that's heresy. And Rashi writes over here, look at the top Rashi. Rashi says, right? Me and the good people here in Shul, so we're going to praise you, but not the Rishayim. V'chachamim lamdu mechel bona sherecha ra umana hakasuv mein siman hakitara shematzrich hakasuv behartza asam liyosav baguda achas. And meanwhile, so the Gemara in Krisus says, Rashi quotes it, that from the Chal Bana didn't smell good. And meanwhile, the Chal Bana is still part of the collection of the Ketaros, the spices that are used for the Ketaros. So that means to say that when praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it's all inclusive. And the Tzaddik and Rishayim, meaning everybody is not just, it's not just you can have Rishayim join with you, but rather you have to have Rishayim join with you. As we all are Aguda Achas, we're all one bundle. Okay. Everyone. Okay, so Akansi Por Yagi Rachamech Val Tovi Zachar Shemecha. So Modim Modim Mishatkin Oso. And now a couple of other sentences that if pronounced by the Sheikh Sibor, so Mishatkin Oso. So what you do is basically you quiet him. You take the hook, you pull him, and exactly how you quiet him. Mishnah doesn't say, but the Mishnah says that they're just simply intolerable. Let's go over each one. The Gemara is going to really go through it in more detail, so right now I'll just give sketches, quick sketches. Akansi por yagir rachamecha. So I'll tell you what, let's just wait for the Gemara, because the Gemara is going to deliberate exactly what's wrong with that sentence. First of all, what does that sentence even mean? But we'll let's table that discussion for the Gemara. Al tov yizachar shemecha. Here, let's do this right now. Al tov yizachar shemecha. Karash Baruch Hu, thank you for all the good that's provided here. And you're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu over what seems to be good. But meanwhile, for the bad, no thank you. In other words, I'm not going to thank you for that. And that, Rashi says, that's no good. The Gemara is going to go on to explain. Again, this Gemara is going to highlight that more. Obviously, we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for both the good and what we perceive as bad. We have to thank him for both. And, Al Tov Yizachar Shemecha and Modim Modim. So once again, the Gemara is going to discuss that as well. Modim modim, you say modim not once, but rather twice. And it sounds like that you're acknowledging that there are shtei rishuyos, that there are two entities, and that obviously is heresy, probably to the highest order. But so you hear Shleich Sibor speaking like that. So once again, so you silence him. Hamechana ba'arayos meshakten oso. Okay, now, it doesn't sound like we're talking about Shleich Sibor anymore. It sounds like we're talking about the Meturgeman, the one translating the Torah. And he gets to the parsha of Arayos. So Arayos is mentioned twice in the Torah, once in Achrei Mos, a second time in Kedoshim, Achrei Mos in Perek Yud Ches, Parshas Kedoshim Perek Chav. And the first time the Torah lays out the Yisurim of the sexually illicit relations, and the second time in Perek Chav, so the Onish, the punishments. So if you're Mechana, now what does that mean to be Mechana? Rashi spends a good amount of time over here in our daf discussing, but basically you try to explain it euphemistically. In other words, you don't give the literal translation, but you give a euphemism. What would be an example of that? So we're going to see together in the Gemara an example of what is a euphemism. But in other words, over here, it is not euphemisms, meaning they're to be understood literally. And so when the translator translates it, that's how he's supposed to translate it. Mishatken oso. Haomer mizaracha lo siten la'avir la'molech, lo siten la'abra, ba'am yusa mishatken oso b'nezifa. Now, when the Pasuk says, now this Pasuk happens to be in the Parsha of Arayos. Again, if you open up to the 18th Perek of Vayikra, and in Parsha Zachar Amos, you're going to see the list of Arayos, the women that are prohibited to you because either they are related to you, or because they're Nida, or because she's an Eishes Ish, whatever, all the women that are prohibited. And there, tucked away in that Perek, oddly enough, Umi Zaracha lo siten la'avir la'molach. It's a form of idolatry. You take your child, you pass your child through fire. Presumably, you kill your child in doing so, meaning it's part of some sort of pagan sacrifice. That's a simple pshat. Happens to be the Rishonim debate whether or not your child is actually going to die or not going to die, and whether the right and the prohibition includes the death of your child. Regardless, it's a form of idolatry. So the Torah there says that if you do so, so you're subject to Misa. If there are no Edom, you're subject to Kares. Now, that Pasuk is talking about Avodah Zarah. It is strange. It certainly is odd that it's in the Parsha of Arayos. That part's true. And I have a really good feeling that if you open up Chumash and see the Mefarshim inside, somehow they're going to try to explain what's doing over there in the Parsha of Arayos. However, right now, our focus is on the Metargim. If the Metargim says, as he's reading that Pasuk, oh, do you know what that Pasuk is referring to? It means that you give your seed over to a non-Jewish woman, meaning you impregnate a non-Jewish woman, and you produce a child from the non-Jewish woman. So that's not the correct interpretation of the Torah. And by the way, in other words, I'm not going to defend it because it's not correct, but it is in the Parsha of Arayas, meaning I could certainly see how a person would make that mistake, but it's a mistake. Nevertheless, it's a mistake. And if you interpret it that way, so the Mishnah says, Meshakinosa benezifa. So harshly, in other words, with a real harsh nature to him, you say to him, that's not the correct interpretation, and you silence him. Rashi says over here because the halacha is simply not correct. In other words, if you impregnate a non-Jewish woman, it's aser. The Torah prohibits it, but it's not a capital crime. And by you interpreting that pasuk in that manner, you're going to be giving the impression that, not the impression, you are misrepresenting the Torah. You are saying that for such an act, it is a capital crime. It's not a capital crime. So that's incorrect. And so, Meshakten Oso Benazifa. Bishlama, we go to the Gemara. So, Bishlama Modim Demechzik Hishtei Rishuyos. So, the Gemara says, look, in the Mishnayos, as far as the Shleach Tzibur is concerned, where he went off script and he ad-libbed, so I understand of the three different ad-libs which the Mishnah says you censor that Shleach Tzibur immediately, so of the three of them, two of them I totally understand. When he says modim, modim, so mechzik hishtei rishuyos, it looks like he's acknowledging two different powers. And obviously that's heresy, right? We are monotheistic. And when you say that, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm thanking you for all the good that you provide for me. So, no, you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything. V'tanam, we learned in a Mishnah in Brachos. So, you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Ra and for Tova. Now, it happens to be that the Brachos are different, right? For the Tov, you say HaTov HaMeitiv. You say Shechianu. For the Ra, there is a different Bracha that you say, Dynamis. Still, nevertheless, brachas, meaning you acknowledging you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything. So so when you say Al Tov Yizachar Shemecha, so once again that is hashkafically wrong, and so the Shlich Sibur now gets up there and he ad libs that. So remove him. Okay, now Ella, but there is one other ad lib, a third ad lib in the Mishnah which needs clarification. Ella Kansi Por Yagir Rachamecha. My time. Now let's translate. I didn't translate back in the Mishnah. Now's a good time to do so. Al Kansipur, over the nest of the bird, Yagir Rachamecha, your mercy should arrive, should reach. And so what's happening? So what the Shliach Tzibur is trying to say is something along the lines of, Akash Baruch, you have tremendous rachmanis on the birds. How do I know that? Because there's a mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein, where if you see a nest with a mother hovering over the chicks or the eggs, so if you want the chicks or the eggs, so what you're going to do is you're going to chase away the mother bird so that the mother bird doesn't have to see her eggs or chicks being taken away. And that's a rachmanis. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you had rachmanis on the birds. So do us a favor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You had rachmanis on the birds, so I want you to have rachmanis on us as well. Sounds nice. Doesn't sound terrible. Meanwhile, the Shliach Tzibur says that. And so what we do is we say to the Shliach Tzibur, this will be your last warning. you will not say that again. So why? So the Gemara now is going to have a debate on this very issue. So, Pligi Batrei Amarai. So, in Eretz Yisrael, Bima Rava. In Eretz Yisrael, so the Amaraim debate this very issue. Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin, Rabbi Yossi Bar Zvida. So, we're introduced to the Amaraim. We don't know which one says which, but Chanam Rabbi Nesha Mato Kinem Maisa Breshas. So, one is because what you're doing is you're creating jealousy amongst Maisa Breshas. Meaning, the impression that we're giving, the misimpression that we're giving, is that Akash Baruch Hu's got rachmanis on the birds, but when it comes to the other animals, Akash Baruch Hu doesn't have that much compassion. Okay, now, animals have feelings? I know that's a loaded question. So so it doesn't matter. Meaning, it's not from their perspective, obviously, it's from our perspective. Meaning, to give people the impression that Akash Baruch Hu has more rachmanis over one category of animals than other categories of animals, that's simply wrong. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the hashkacha over every single animal in equal amounts of hashkacha. And so when we give this impression, this erroneous impression, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has got more compassion over the birds, so that's just simply incorrect. It's not how HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives equal amounts of hashkacha to all different types of animals. There is a healthy discussion to be had regarding whether the hashkacha for animals is the same as the hashkacha for you and I. There's a there, and that's a That is a loaded, that's a loaded discussion. But nevertheless, to say that he has hashkacha for one type of animals over other types of animals, that's simply incorrect. So that's hashkafically wrong, and that's why we tell the Shliach Tzibor, that's the last time you're saying that. And the other explanation is because, look, we're looking at the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein, and we're saying, Kadosh Baruch Hu, we know why you gave the mitzvah. Because you wanted to have us, you wanted us to have rachmanis on the birds. You have rachmanis on the birds. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to figure out tama mitzvahs. We're trying to figure out the reasons behind the mitzvahs. We think we understand the mitzvahs, the reasons behind the mitzvahs. The truth of the matter is we don't understand the reasons behind the mitzvahs. Why do we do the mitzvahs? Because it's a mitzvah. It's a commandment. It's the Rashi. I'm going to quote the language inside. Ve'ena elegzeris melech lahatel aleinu olo. Kadosh Baruch Hu is just slapping a burden on top of us. Lo dia shenachnu avadav v'shomrei mitzvosav. We're his servants. We serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He gives us a mitzvah. It's a commandment. So we just simply follow the commandment. Do we have to understand the reason? No. But more than that, our Gemara is saying is not only do we not have to understand the reason, we can't understand the reason. Meaning our limited understanding is just simply unable, incapable of understanding the reasons behind the mitzvahs. They're gzeros. From our perspective, we just simply look at them as gzeros. Okay. I'm sure everyone's familiar. There's a pretty popular sefer authored about 800 years ago. It's called Sefer HaChinuch. So I'm sure you've heard of it. So so in Sefer HaChinuch, so what he does is he goes through every mitzvah of the Torah, all 613. First of all, he counts them, which in of itself is a pretty big deal, right? He uses the Rambam as his platform, as the framework of how to count the mitzvahs of the Torah. And then with every mitzvah of the Torah that he counts, with every single one, he gives a Tam HaDavar, right? What are we learning from this mitzvah? What are we learning from that mitzvah? So and Sefer HaChinuch is a pretty popular sefer. It's been popular now for 8+ centuries. So what's happening? Meaning our Gemara over here says that there are no Tama Mitzvahs and we can't understand Tama Mitzvahs, and the Sefer HaChinuch comfortably and popularly has given us explanations for all the Mitzvahs of the Torah. So the classic explanation is that the Sefer HaChinuch is saying what we can learn from the Mitzvah. That's not why we do the Mitzvah. We do the Mitzvahs because HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed us to do so. Are there lessons that we can learn from every one of the Mitzvahs? Every one. And so what the Sefer HaChinuch is doing is not telling us why we're doing the mitzvahs. He's just simply explaining what the lessons are that we can learn from every given mitzvah. Good. That's a, right, but our Gemara over here says very clearly. Now, it happens to be that our Gemara over here, it is a machlokas, meaning, this part gets a little, I hope I'm explaining this well. Our Gemara has a machlokas in terms of the Mishnah, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're arguing about whether there are Tama Mitzvahs or there aren't Tama Mitzvahs. Meaning, the machlokas in our Gemara right now is how to explain our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, Al-Kan Sipor Yagir Rachamecha, and why do we take the Shliach Tzibor and we remove him? That doesn't necessarily mean that they're philosophically, hashkafically arguing with one another regarding whether there is or there isn't Tama Mitzvahs. They're just arguing about what the Pshat in the Mishnah is. Okay. More stories from here on end until the next Mishnah regarding various Shliach Tzibors, what they said, how they ad-libbed, and what came as a result of it. Hahu d'nachis kamei d'rabba. Somebody got down in front of Rabba, meaning the word nachis literally means to go down. So mimamakim. So when the Shliach Tzibor is davening, so what he should be davening is from a lowered elevation, not a higher elevation. I know it's strange, it's odd. Right, many shuls, many shuls. So they take the Shliach Tzibor and they put them up on a higher elevation. Okay, it really helps, meaning so that people can hear them. In the meantime, however, from the Gemara, numerous occasions, this being one of them, so it's very clear that the Shliach Tzibor should be from a lower elevation. Right, I mentioned this before. Right, I was as a younger man, I was in West Orange, New Jersey. So the shul over there, they do exactly this. They put the Shliach Tzibor in a lower elevation. Okay, so I've seen it one time in my life. I'm sure there are other shuls that do it as well. Most shuls go the other direction. Anyway, Haudanach is coming to Rabba Amar. Ata chasa kan sipor, ata chos rachem aleinu. So you had rachmanis over the bird. So Kadosh Baruch Hu, please have rachmanis on us. So that's how the Shliach Tzibor ad-libbed. So Amar Rabba kam yada haim Rabba l'rtsu l'maryeh. So Rabba, with the Shliach Tzibor, let's say after davening was over, at the Kiddush, he slapped him on the back and he said, Yesher Koach, not a literal translation of the Gemara, but basically, oh, that was excellent. I really liked the way that you davened. So Amale Abaye, Bahamish Atkino Sotanan. So Abaye is right there on the conversation, overhearing the compliment, and Abaye looks at his Rebbe, Rabba, and he says, what? What? Meaning the Mishnah Megillah. The Mishnah Megillah says that Mishatkino so. You don't give him a Yeshakalach. You tell him, don't ever do that again. So the Gemara says, yeah, that Rabba knows the Mishnah and Megillah, and Rabba was making sure that Abaye was also knowledgeable of the Mishnah in Megillah, and this is what's called a test. And he was testing Abaye, and Abaye passed this particular test. Ahudanach is coming to Rabbi Chanina. A second story. Someone's davening for the Amud in front of Rabbi Chanina. Amar Akel Agadol Hagibor Vanara. So he starts off with Shmon Esrei. So far, so good. And then he goes off script. He'adir ve'hachazak ve'ha'amit. And he throws in a number of other adjectives describing a Kadosh Baruch Hu. All good adjectives, but more. He added more. So Amar Leisi Amtin Lach Shachve Damarcha. And so Rabbi Chanina says to the Sheikh Sibor, are you done yet? Sarcastically, right? You finished? So Hashta Haniklasa. First of all, the three adjectives that we use in the Shemoneh Esrei. Ilav de kasvin Moshe bar Raisa v'asu kinesis kedol v'takninu anan lo amrinan lohu. Had it not been that these adjectives were already in the Torah, written by Moshe Rabbeinu, we wouldn't use them. The only reason why we use these particular adjectives of gadol, gibor, v'nora is because we cut and paste. They're in the Sefer Torah, and so we use them now for davening. When I say we use them, by the way, meaning the nusach of, we just did this back on Yud Zayin, the nusach of Shemoneh Esrei is put together, composed by Anshei Knesset Gedola, amongst which they were Nevi'im. So every word of Shemoneh Esrei is designed. So the the reason why they, meaning Anshei Knesset Gedola, why they use the words Gadol, Gibor, V'Nora is because they're using the words that are used in the Chumash. And now you think you can go off script, and you think you can add adjectives to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here's what happens when you add adjectives. You know what happens when you add adjectives? You're really deducting, you're subtracting. So mashal Adam Shahilo Alaf Alfei Alafim Dinar Zav. Let's just imagine for a moment, I'm giving you a mashal so that you can better understand, says Rabbi Chanina. So let's say a person's got thousands and thousands of gold, whatever, gold coins. Vayimakalsin Oso Dinari Kesef. And what you do is you're going to be praising him on his treasure. And he says, your treasury? Oh, the silver in your treasury. What are you talking about? I don't have silver in my treasury. I have gold in my treasury. So any kind of praise that you're going to be giving is not only not going to praise, but it's going to diminish. So lo ganai hu lo, it's a ganai. Okay. So same thing with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? The Kadosh Baruch Hu, even the mushal is not enough. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. So whatever praise we give him, it's just all it is just simply going to be diminishment. Am Rabbi Chanina kol bidei shamayim chutz mi yirei shamayim. Talk about a big statement in today's daf. So everything is in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with notable exception to Yira Shamayim. Yira Shamayim, our ability to choose to do right from wrong. So that's not in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's control. That's in our control. Shenemar v'ata Yisrael, ma'ashem lokech v'shol me'imach, ki'im li'yira. So the pasuk says, look, Moshe says to the Jewish people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all he's asking for is Yira Shamayim. In other words, the fact that you are going to be fearing and serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, choosing to do whatever you want to do, meaning right versus wrong, doing a mitzvah, doing a veira, that's up to you. That's your choice. That's what's called Bechir Chavshis. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. So there are 10 prakim of Hilchos Tshuva in the Rambam. So a couple of the prakim, the central prakim, 5 and 6. So he spends those prakim talking about Bechir Chavshis, free choice. Because without the most basic concept of free choice, so then how can we ever be held accountable for anything that we do? Meaning it wasn't our fault. No, it is our fault because we have the right to choose. So central to the idea of tshuva is that any mistakes that we make are our mistakes because we are the ones who choose. And that's the Gemara over here. Everything else in terms of our physical makeup, in terms of our height and in intellect and all that, that's up to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, but in terms of our choice, that's us. So Michlal Deira, I'm sorry, fine. So that's the first point to Rabbi Chanina. Okay, there's another statement that sounds very similar. Hakol b'dei shamayim chutz mi tzinim u'pachim. You can see Tosus over here, Tosus notes, that's a Gemara in Ksuvos. It sounds a little bit different than our Gemara. How to make shalom between the two statements. I'm not going to do that now. Anyway, but you can see Tosus over here for a comparison and an explanation of how to take our Gemara over here in the Gemara in Ksuvos and make shalom between the two Gemaras. Anyway, The way Moshe said it, it sounds a little bit strange. In other words, what's the big deal? Kadosh Baruch Hu is just asking for Yerushalayim from you. That's all. No, it is a big deal. Meaning it's the life decisions that we have to make every day. You see some people are successful at it, and you see some people really struggle. And in the way Moshe presents it, it's like, what's the big deal? It's really hard. And the Gemara is bothered by this very question. The way Moshe is presenting it, it's like, what's the big deal? So Mechlau, the Yira Milsas Utrasahi. That's the Gemara's question. So it sounds like from Moshe's perspective, that this is a small thing. So in Legabe Moshe, Rabbeinu Milsas Utrasahi. So the Gemara says, for Moshe Rabbeinu, it is a small thing. So Mashal Adam Shemavakshim Menu Kli Gadol V'Yeshlo Damalav Kli Katan. So Yeshlo Damalav Kli Katan. Katan V'Einlo Damalav Kli Gadol. Everything is relative. He asks somebody for something. So if he has it, no big deal. And if he doesn't have it, then even if what you're asking is a little bit, then it's a really big deal. So everything, of course, is relative. I'm going to encourage you. I'm not going to go over it right now. Look at the Meshech Chachma's introduction. I think it's the beginning of Sefer Shmos. Okay, I have to look it up myself again. In terms of Moshe Rabbeinu and Bechira Chavshis, it's a really interesting Meshech Chachma over there. Anyway, I'm just sending you to Amar Makom, relevant to our Gemara over here. Anyway, fine. How do we get onto that? Meaning, what does that have to do with anything we're discussing? The answer really is same mandamar. Meaning, in the previous episode, we had Rabbi Chanina and the Shliach Tzibor. And the Shliach Tzibor went off script, and Rabbi Chanina gave him a whole schmooze about, that's not what you're going to do again. And then, okay, so we quoted Rabbi Chanina again. HaKol Bidei Shamayim Chutz Mi Yerushalayim. We're continuing in the Gemara. We're in Chafei Amud Aleph. We're about two-thirds of the way down. Amar Rabbi Zera. HaOmer Shema Shema KaOmer Modim Modim Dami. So you say Shema Shema. So you repeat the Pasuk of Shema. So that is tantamount to saying Modim two times. Now, Modim two times, so that is something where it's intolerable. You hear the Shliach Tzibor say it, so you say to the Shliach Tzibor, no, and don't ever do that again. Okay, so if you say the Pasuk of Shema two times, so same result. So Meitzvei, Akaris, Shema, Vekoflar, Zimaguna, the Gemara quotes a Brisa. The Brisa says that you say the Pasuk of Shema, you repeat the Pasuk of Shema, so that is Maguna. Maguna means that it's embarrassing. But embarrassing, however, is not the same. It doesn't have the same tone as our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is mishatkenoso, meaning we silence the individual. You will not say that again. And over here, maguna means you shouldn't have done that. So maguna hu dehave shetukela mishatkenale. So the Gemara notes that even though we just said that saying Shema twice is the same as saying Modim twice, meanwhile the Braisa, you don't really get that sense. So the Gemara says, Lokasha, Hadamar Milsa, Milsa Vitanila, Hadamar Psuka, Psuka Vitanila. So the Gemara says, if it depends on whether or not you're repeating words or you're repeating the entire sentence. The Rashi, Amar Milsa, Milsa Vitanila, Koteva Omer Vishona, Ein Kan Mashma Shte Vishuyos, Elamaguna Vasechalhu. So if you say the word Shema, then Shema. Then you say Yisrael, and then you say Yisrael again. So it doesn't sound like you're acknowledging to Rishuyos. It's just simply, it's clumsy. It's a sloppy way to say it. And that's Maguna. So you should say cleanly and crisply. However, if you say the Pasuk and then you say it again, that's like saying Modim two times. So Amalei Rapapa Rava V'Doma Mikara Lo Kiven Daite V'Hashe Kiven Daite. So Rapapa says, can we be Malamid Tzchus? The person who said Shema as a Pasuk and then said it again, so maybe the first time he didn't have Kavana, and so therefore, he said it robotically. I'd like to now say it with intention. So that's why he said it a second time. Can't that be the case? So Amar Lei, and you talk about a sharp answer that's coming up. So Amar Lei, Chavrusa Kalpe Shmaya. When you're speaking to Kadosh Baruch Hu, you think you're talking to a friend? Meaning it's a casual conversation? You're just going in there robotically? So when you approach a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so what you do is you'll beat yourself over with the head of a shovel. I don't think the Gemara here means literally, but in other words, you realize that you're speaking to the Melech Malchei Amlachim. So you compose yourself and you put yourself in the right frame of mind. And then you go ahead and you say, you don't daven robotically. And who would daven robotically in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Okay. Unfortunately, that's meaning we do it on a regular basis and it happens. So the sharp answer of the Gemara over here is pretty much enough Musar. I don't have to belabor the point, but certainly we could take away from today's daf the idea that when we're davening, right, we should be taking it really seriously. Let's just leave it at that. The Gemara over here is just going to give us an example of getting to the parsha of Arayis in the Torah, and the Metargim now is translating, and he's translating euphemistically. So the Gemara over here just simply gives us an example of what would that sound like. So the pasuk says ervas avicha, ervas imecha, which means that one is not allowed to sleep with his father. The Gemara in Yavama spends a lot of time going over what exactly that means. It probably means his father's wife, meaning his stepmother, or ervas imecha, and that means your biological mother. So meaning it's the arayas, meaning these are the women that a man is not allowed to be with. And sexually. And meanwhile, the Metargim gets up there and he starts saying, nah, that don't, it's not literal. It's euphemisms. And over here, the way he would translate is, kalon davucha, kalon diimecha, meaning don't embarrass your parents. Don't embarrass your mother. Don't embarrass your father. Now again, the idea in of itself, of course, is correct, but that's not the correct interpretation of that particular pasuk. And again, I'm going back to the Rashi earlier, Rashi back in the Mishnah. And then, of course, what you're also doing is that you're misrepresenting the halacha. Meaning, if you embarrass your mother and if you embarrass your father, so if that's the way you understood the pasuk in Arayos, so then you would assume that, of course, is a capital crime. Okay. So you're misrepresenting the correct interpretation of the Torah, and that would be an example. Ha'omer umizar chalos yiten la'avir v'chulei tanan debei Rabbi Yishmael. So once again, what we're doing is that we're giving an example of how not to interpret the Torah. Meaning in the pasuk of Umizaracha, the person goes up there and interprets that if you go ahead and impregnate a non-Jewish woman and you produce a child, an idolatrous child, so that's not the interpretation of the Torah. Meaning, even though again, it's wrong, meaning that is prohibited, but that's not the interpretation of that pasuk. That pasuk is talking about an actual practice of idolatry, taking your child and putting him through the fire. Again, with killing him, without actually killing him, debate amongst the Rishonim, but that's what the pasuk actually means. It does not mean impregnating a non-Jewish woman. And again, Rashi in the Mishnah, back in the Mishnah, said it very clearly. Because if you interpret it incorrectly, so number one, you interpret it incorrectly, and number two, you're giving off the wrong halacha. Because then one would assume that if one impregnates a non-Jewish woman, so then that's a chiyuv karis. It's a chiyuv misa, and it's simply not true. It's not correct. Okay. From here until the end of the perek, so it's going to be super enjoyable. In that, so we now know that we have a matar game. Okay. Again, we don't have a matar game anymore. When we start with the matar game. I'm asking open-ended. I do not know the answer. Sometimes between the Gemara and now, so covering 1,700 years of Jewish history. So when did we lose the Matar game? So I don't know. And also we pointed out in the past that there are still some select communities that use the Targum. The Yemenites still use the Targum. One time in my life, it's really not enough, but one time in my life I went to Yemenite Shul. I davened by Yemenites for Shabbos, and so I got to see it firsthand. Okay, but we've lost the art of Targum during Kriyas HaTorah, but nevertheless, the idea is very simple and it's really good. Meaning, while you're reading the Torah, so you're translating the Torah. Okay, so far so good. What we're going to be discussing now with the Mishnah and with the Gemara is that there are parts of the Torah that are a little bit embarrassing, and Torah is not. In other words, the Torah is honest and open. And we'll be more than comfortable going over some of these events. But in terms of the Targum, in terms of broadcasting it to the masses, so there should be a little bit of discretion that's used, and that's what we're going to be discussing in this Mishnah. The Targum should have discretion in certain places. In other places, however, the Metargim should not have discretion. So the question now becomes, when should discretion be used? So the Mishnah. Maisa Reuven Ikra V'lo Metargim. So the incident regarding Reuven and his... and his stepmother. So read it, but the Metargim should not translate it. Okay. Maisa Tamar Nikra Metargim. Now, in the incident with Tamar, that's Perek Lamed Ches in Breishis. So read that and translate. the Gemara is going to go over why some places discretion, other places no discretion. The Gemara is going to discuss. Maisa Egel, Arisha Nikra Matargim, Vashini Nikra Vela Matargim. So Maisa Egel, first part of it, read and translate. Second part of it, read and don't translate. In the Gemara, we're going to explain why. Birchas Kohanim, Maisa David Va'amnon, Nikra Im Vela Matargimin. When you get to Birchas Kohanim in Parshas Naso, read it, don't translate it. Right? That's a head scratcher. If you would have asked me, I never would have thought that that would make it into the list of where you need discretion. The obvious question is, why in the world would we not translate it? But we don't have to wait that long. The Gemara, in a couple minutes from now, is going to go ahead and explain to us why that is. The David and Amnon. The episode with Amnon and his sister, where he violates his sister. So you'll read that, but you will not translate that. Ein maftirim b'merkava, meaning if in fact you're going to be, obviously that's a Navi, that's on Chumash, and I imagine the Gemara means that if you're going to be using it as a Haftarah. Okay. Ein maftirim b'merkava, Rav Yehuda Matir. So can you be maftir on the Maisa Merkava, first parak in Yechezkel? So the machlokis amongst the Tanaim, whether or not that would be appropriate. Rabbi Lazar Omer Ein maftirim b'hodas Yerushalayim. And the Shitas Rabbi Eliezer is that one should not say the Haftarah from Hodas Yerushalayim, the 16th parak of Sefer Yechezkel, and the Gemara is going to go ahead and explain why that is. Okay, so we are given now a listing over here of places in the Torah where you should have discretion, places where you would have considered to have discretion, but you don't need to. Meaning, the Metargim can go ahead and just translate it and explain it to the masses. So a lot of explanation is necessary. So that's where we start with the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. Yesh nikra v'metargamin, v'yesh nikra v'lo metargamin, v'yesh lo nikra v'lo metargamin. So there are sections of Tanakh where we're going to read and translate, and there are sections of Tanakh where we're going to read and we're not going to translate. And then in our gears of the Gemara, so there's even a third section, which is that there are places that we're not even going to, we're not going to read. The Gaon takes out that third category. Anyway, in our Mishnah, there were only two categories in our Mishnah. In other words, that which you read and translate, that which you read and you don't translate. Okay, anyway. Blas Akan Nashpa Siman. So, a mnemonic, right? This one, it's hard. These mnemonics, they don't mean anything to us, so it's kind of hard. But if you want to commit the Gemara's to memory, so you look at the mnemonic and let's begin. Maisa Breishas Nikra Matargein. So we're going to start with Maisa Breishas. This list that we're going to be learning over here in this Breisa is a longer list than that was given to us in the Mishnah. Okay, good. So as far as Maisa Breishas is concerned, so you're going to read, you're going to translate it. So the Gemara says, really, Maisa Breishas? Meaning, of course. So no, the Gemara says, Ma'u detem asa l'shayule ma'lamala ma'lamata ma'lifnim ma'la'achor. If you open up Maisa Breishas, which that's where we do open up, that's where we start with the Torah, and you're reading, you translate to the masses, so we talk about creation, so that means that there's a beginning. Well, what happened before that? And so people are going to ask, and it's an unanswerable question, but nevertheless, and the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says that these are questions which there is no point in exploring, as we're not going to be able to provide really any kind of reasonable answers, but if you open up with Maisa Breishas, so those questions could come up, and so that's the Havamina, why I would have thought that we'll read it, but we will not translate it to the masses. So, the maskana is no. We're going to read it. We're going to translate it. Knowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, that's more important. Maisa Lo Vishtei Benosav Nikra Matargim. The episode with Lot. So obviously, it is a unfortunate episode in the Torah. But meanwhile, it made it in our list, the list of parshas that you'll read and you'll translate. So the Gemara says Pshita Ma'od Tema Nechash Lechvod Avram Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says he is Avram's nephew and. You know, it may look poorly on Avram, or it may reflect poorly on Avram, and that's the Havamim, and the Maskana is okay. No, you're gonna read it anyway. Maisa Tamar Yehuda Nikra Matargim, the episode with Yehuda and Tamar, you read, you translate. So Pshita Ma'od Detem Alechus Lechvod De Yehuda Kamashvulan Shav Yehuda Odei. So the Gemara says, look, it reflects poorly on Yehuda. He solicited a prostitute, he impregnated her, thought that his daughter-in-law slept with another man, was ready to kill her. It's a tough story. And meanwhile, we read it. Why? Because we get to the part where Yehuda said, Sat kami meni. All right. And he's Moda. And he told, right away, he admits he was wrong. And she's more righteous than me. Okay. That, for that moment, Right? It's all worth it. And when I say it's all worth it, meaning that despite the fact that Yehuda is going to be publicly embarrassed now over the entire episode, but the fact that he did tshuva and the fact that he admitted that he was wrong, that is a really important lesson for everyone to hear. Maisal Galarisha Nikra Matar game Pshita. So the Gemara says, now as far as Maisal Egel is concerned, so part one of Maisal Egel, meaning Maisal Egel only occurred one time in the Torah. But basically we're going to break it up into two parts. The first part you're going to read and translate. The second part you're going to read, but you're not going to translate. So the Gemara says, what is going on over here? First of all, part number one, you read and translate. The Gemara says, I think it's obvious. The Gemara says, it's not so obvious. So Ma'u Detei Melech Shechvodim Sheyisrael Kamash Malan Kol Shekein Denichalei Dehavilei Kapara. So on one hand, it's terribly embarrassing. The entire Jewish people, or a good amount of the Jewish people, were Zovid Avodah Zarah, so that obviously is embarrassing. The Gemara says, okay, but by reading it and by suffering the embarrassment, so it should provide a kapara for us. Okay, that's part one. What about part two? Part two is coming up in just a moment, meaning when we get to the next category, so we'll explain why part two we're not going to be, we'll read, but we're not going to translate. Klalos Abrachos Nikra Nematargamin. So when you get to the Klalos Abrachos, it occurs twice in the Torah, once at the end of Sefer Vayikra, a second time at the end of Sefer Devarim. So you read, you translate. Pshita Ma'od Detei Manechosh Dilma Pagei Daitei Detziburei. So the Gemara says, look, it's soul-crushing, right? You hear about the klalos that's going to come on the Jewish people, and at that point in time, like, everyone's going to be really dispirited. Rashi writes over here, I'm reading the Rashi, Pagidaitayu, Yachlosh Da'atam, Kishiyishmu Shiyene Nashim. So when hearing about all the punishments that are going to be befalling, so it will be dispiriting, V'yamru, Tov Le'anos Men Olam Azeh, B'chol Ritzoneinu Hol V'sofeinu Le'anesh. Look, if we're going to get punished anyway, so why don't we just forfeit any and give up on any kind of effort, and look, let's just enjoy the world while we're here. So you might have thought that is a concern, but the reading and the translation of it still is going to outweigh that concern. So as far as an onshin, anytime the Torah gives a warning, meaning an isser, and also provides the onus as well. So let's read it, but let's not translate it. So the Gemara says, you read and you translate it. So the Gemara says, Pshita, of course you read and translate it, meaning that's the Torah, right? The Surim, the punishments. So Ma'u Detei Menechosh Dilma Asala Me'evin Me'ira. The Gemara says, well, maybe we should be afraid that when a person hears it, so yeah, he'll serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but only do it out of fear. So Kamash Malan. So the Chiddush is, no, even though that is a concern, but obviously the importance of people knowing what the Yisurim are and people knowing what the Onish is, so that is obviously going to outweigh it. Now, what's wrong with serving a HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of fear? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? So yes and no, meaning it's a good starting point, but when we serve a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to do so out of Ava. And even the year that we're supposed to have is on a higher level. So the knowledge of knowing what the Yisurim are going to outweigh this concern that people are just going to be serving a Kadosh Baruch Hu out of fear, out of base fear. Maisa Amnon V'tamar Nikra Metargim. Maisa Avshalom Nikra Metargim. So we're going to go through the next two, the episodes of Amnon and Tamar, where Amnon violates his sister, and Avshalom, where he rebels against his father. So you read them, you translate them. So Pshita Ma'u Detem Leichosh Li'ikari De David. So the Gemara says, okay, but again, this may reflect poorly on David. And not only may reflect poorly on David, it does reflect poorly on David. But nevertheless, and we should be worried about it, and to protect the honor of David, so let's not translate it to the masses. Meaning, again, I know I'm repeating my point, but it's a really important point. The Navi writes it down. Meaning, it's not that the Navi is shy to write it down. And the imperfections of our greatest patriarchs and leaders. So the Torah is very comfortable writing it down. It's just that there should be an element of discretion that's being used over here. And so the consideration over here is that, look, because of the honor of David HaMelech, so let's use over here just a little bit of discretion. Let's not read it in shul and translate it to all the masses. That's the consideration. Okay, but nevertheless, the Gemara says, no, you're going to read, you're going to translate. Okay, well, and interesting over here, the Gemara doesn't tell us what's the positive benefit, meaning by Yehuda, so there's a positive benefit in that. It showed that he admitted and he was moda ala emes. So over here, what's the positive benefit over here? So the Gemara doesn't say. So I'm not prepared to suggest as well. I don't have a good suggestion. Maisa Pelegish be... Maisa David of Nikram v'lo mitargamin. That's an excellent observation. Okay. And the Gemara didn't pick it up? And worse, I didn't pick it up. Okay. All right. I need to do better on that. I don't know. Okay. It's really good. Maisa Pilegish Begiva Nikra Matargin. Last three Prakim of Sefer Shoftim. So this is Yutes, Chaf, and Chaf Aleph. So Shoftim ends on a really downer, on a real downer. An episode with a Pileg. I'm not going to go through the whole episode right now. Anyway, it's really bad. Okay, how about that? And again, you open up the end of Sefer Shoftim, and you'll see. It's a real tragedy. So you'll read it, and you'll translate it. So Pshita Maudete Melechus Lechvoda de Binyamin. So Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says, okay. Now, again, the consideration over here is, it's really reflecting poorly an entire Shevet of Binyamin. And so that's the Havamina is, let's use a little discretion over here. So the Maskan is, no. You can read, you can translate it. Hodas Yerushalayim Estovasa Nikra Metargem. So the 16th parak of Sefer Yecheskel. So you can read it, you can translate it. Pshita lafukim mid Rebbe Elazar. So the Gemara says this goes against the Shita Rebbe Elazar. Detanya Ma'isabad Demechash Ayikor Lamalam Rebbe Elazar Hodas Yerushalayim Estovasa. So what it speaks about are some of the more disgusting aspects of the inhabitants of Yerushalayim and Amar Lo, and the Navi is very critical about the behavior of the people living in Yerushalayim at his time. And so, once again, Rabbi Eliezer is of the position that discretion should be used. And you shouldn't read and you shouldn't translate it to the masses. So Amar Lo, so Rabbi Eliezer. Now, here we could see clearly it's Machlokas, whether you can or you cannot. Meaning the Tanakhama, this Tosefta, is telling us that you can. Rabbi Eliezer, he's a Tana as well, so he says you can't. You can't read and translate it to the masses. And here in the Braisa, Rabbi Eliezer says to the one who decided that, no, this is good material that we should be reading and translating to the masses. So I'm alo, achata bodek betoavos Yerushalayim, tseo bodek betoavos imecha. You feel so comfortable reading reading the section of Navi that's highly critical of the Jewish people. When a person's highly, very comfortable about criticizing others, so it is a reflection of himself, right? The Gemara in Kiddushin, kol haposel bimuma posel. When you disqualify other people and you're critical of other people, so probably, says the Gemara in Kiddushin, it means that's you have that very same flaw. And so over here, so Rabbi Elazar says to this person who was reading and translating the 16th parak of Sefer Yecheskel, you know what? I'm worried. If you feel so comfortable criticizing others, same thing by you. And Badko Acharav Amatzah Boshemetz Psal in the Gemara, without being descriptive, the Gemara says, yeah, it turned out that they did some sort of background check on him, and he did not check out. Okay. Eilu Nikrim V'lo Metargamin. Now, after giving a lengthy list of those things which we're going to be reading and translating, so now a short list of, 5. Five sections where we're going to be reading, but we're not going to be translating. So Maisa Ruvain, Nikra V'lo Metargem. So we start with Maisa Ruvain, Maisa Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Shalach LeKabol. So Rabbi Chanina went to a town, this town of Kabul. Vayakore Chazan HaKnesses Vayi Bishkon Yisrael. Va'amar lo lemetorgaman al tetargem. So the first part of the pasuk that deals with Ruvain and his stepmother. So the instructions were, don't translate. And then Ela Acharon. When you get to the second half of the pasuk, Vayihu b'nei Yaakov shnei masar. Now it happens to be Rashi points this out over here. If you look at the pasuk inside, it's a really interesting pasuk. The pasuk is broken up. There's a break in the middle of a pasuk. I don't know if it occurs again in all of Chumash. Okay, I don't want to stick my flag in this, but it is a rarity where you have an actual break, like a physical break in the Torah, right in the middle of the pasuk. But second half of the pasuk, Vayihu b'nei Yaakov shnei masar. So, right? So that you translate, meaning, okay. So the first half of the pasuk requires discretion, i.e., don't translate it to the masses. Second half of the pasuk that you translate, vishibchu chachamim, back to the Gemara. The Gemara says that when the chachamim saw that, they said, good, perfect, very well done. Next, maisa egal sheni nikra velamatar ge mezu maisa egal sheni. So when we get to the second half of the incident of maisa egal, so you read it, but you don't translate it. So first of all, what are we talking about? So the Gemara over here says, min vayomer Moshe ad vayar Moshe. Okay, so in Perek Lamed Beis, when you get to this section, so what you'll do is that you'll read it, but you will not translate it. So the, and Rashi, so Rashi earlier says, let's first do the Gemara. Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer la'olam yehi adam zari b'tshuva sav. So a person's got to be very careful about how he answers questions. So should we talk tshuva? Sheishivo Aaron Lamoshe, Pakru Ham Arurim. Because basically, they overheard the exchange between Aaron and Moshe, and anyone who already is a little bit cynical, a little bit critical, so he gave him some fuel to work with. Shenemar, now, this is the pasuk that's contained in the part two of Maisa Egel. Va'ashlecheo ba'esh. So we threw the gold into fire, v'yatsa ha'egel hazeh, and out came the golden calf. Now, if you read it really literally, what it sounds like is that it came out on its own, meaning that it has some sort of koach. Okay, so, and obviously, in other words, they took it out, meaning it's an idol. But nevertheless, if you hear it being read that way, and if you're already a little bit of a cynic, and so what you could do now is you could use that pasuk as fuel for the fire. So, when reading that section, so you need to have the discretion where you'll read it, but you will not translate it. And obviously, it begs the question: why did Aaron say it that way? And so that needs more. That needs more explanation in terms of what exactly Aaron was trying to communicate by saying in that particular manner. Number three, Birchas Kohanim Nikrim V'lam Matargim Ma'itam Dichsiv Mishum Dichsiv Yisa. So the Birchas Kohanim you should read, but you shouldn't translate. Like I said back in the Mishnah, it's a head scratcher. Why in the world would we not be translating Birchas Kohanim? It sounds like of any section of the Torah, that sounds like something you should be translating. But the Gemara here gives a really concise explanation, and that's because of the word Yisa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should find favor with us. And so now, if we broadcast that to the masses, meaning it's true, and Rashi points out over here, based on the Gemara and Brachos, of course it's true, meaning we go out of our way for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi here gives the example, the Gemara and Brachos, Nav Chaf, where we're supposed to bench only when we're full. And meanwhile, when we eat a kazayah, so we're benching. Okay, good. So we take more upon ourselves. So for that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu now is going to show us favoritism. Good. So we are a favorite nation, and we deserve to be the favorite nation. However, we don't want to broadcast that to the masses. And so therefore, one should not be recording this and putting this on the internet. Sorry, that was just a shout at myself. Quick shout at myself. Anyway, so the so good. So that's why when you get to Birchas Kohanim, so don't disseminate. Maisa David v'Amnon lo nikrim v'lo matargimin. So as far as Amnon, so v'hamar Maisa Amnon v'tamar nikrim matargim. David, this is your question. So lo kasha adichsev Amnon ben David adichsev Amnon stama. If it says Amnon ben David, so that don't translate. Now it's funny, by the way, it says don't translate, meaning who's not going to understand that? Okay, but fine. In other words, or maybe that section. Maybe that's what the Gemara means by that. But if it's just Amnon by itself, okay, so that you're going to read, and you can translate. So what we're going to do is that if the Torah uses a word that is really, that's really graphic, and by the way, when I say really graphic, right, the Rambam writes this, that the Hebrew is described as Lashon Kodesh, and the part of the reason why it's called Lashon Kodesh as a Rambam is because there is no graphic words in the Torah. No words to describe genitalia, no words to describe the act of intimacy, meaning every time the Torah uses a word to describe it, it uses a kinui, it uses an expression, right? Vayada Adam es Ishto. Okay, so all terms that are used are by nature going to be, in general, a more modest way to describe it. Right, fine. So, but meanwhile, even then, there are certain words in the Torah where we use kinuyim. So, and in other words, and we have to assume that this is part of the Masorah. So in the Tochacha, for example, Yishagelna, which is a description of an act of intimacy, but it's a more base way to say it. So Yishkavena, so instead of saying Yishagelna, you say Yishkavena. And a number of other examples, Ba'afolim, B'tacharim, Charyonim, Divyonim, Leschol Charem, Lishtosis, Meimei Shineim, Lecholet Soasom, Lishtosis, Meimei Ragleim, Lamachraos, Lamotzaos. Okay. Forgive me now, I'm not going to go through each one of them, but basically, in all these examples, a more gentle way of describing these things which are more graphically described in the Torah, and the Masorah is to say it in a more gentle manner. Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha Omer Lamachros Keshemen Mimneshu Gnai Lavoros Kochavim. Now, when Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha got to the expression Lamachraos, so what he would say is he would say it in the more graphic way. Why? Because it's a description of Avodah Zarah. And as such, what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to make fun of Avodah Zarah and speak about it in a disparaging manner. The Gemara gives more examples. Amar Rav Nachman, kol etzinusa asira, to be mocking. So in general, generally speaking, is prohibited. Bar milet sinusa davos kochavim. But if you want to mock and make fun of Avodah Zarah, so then a full invitation to do so. Deshari dechsev kara bal keres, so the Gemara gives a couple of examples where it's described in really graphic terms. Rebbe Yanai Amar Mehachal Aglos Beis Avin Yagaru Shachin Shemron Ki Aval Alav Imo V'Chmarav Alav Yagilu Al Kivodo Ki Galam Imenu. And so just another example where mocking of Avodah Zarah. So over here the pasuk in Hosea, and it says that the Yagilu Al Kivodo. Those that are involved in Avodah Zarah, so they're going to rejoice over their, or that which they honor. So here, I'll tell you what, instead of saying that which they honor, I'll tikre kvodo, ela kvedo. You know, it's full of their excrement, meaning the animals are full of their excrement. Am Ravuna bar Manoch, Mishmei derav Acha, Berei derav Ika, Shari leila bar Yisrael, Lameimar leila avodas kochavim, Shak leila avodas kochavim, Va'anche bishin tof. You're allowed to tell an idolater to take his idolatry and to put it in his shin tof. Okay, the context already enough is going to describe what that is. I don't have to say anymore. Shalom. Amar Rav Ashi Haiman Desanishmana Shari Leila Vizuye. Begim of a shin. Somebody who has a bad reputation. In other words, he's an adulterer, right? A well-known adulterer. People know that he is. So what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to embarrass him begim of shin. Now, what exactly does that mean, gimel shin? So see Rashi over here. Right, I ran out of time. See Rashi over here. Rashi offers two pshat and one he quotes b'shem hagaonim. Another pshat as well. In other words, I'll say it succinctly. You're allowed to embarrass such an individual. Haiman deshapish mone shari l'shvuche. So somebody who's got a good reputation. So what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to praise such an individual. Yanuchalo brachos. I'm sorry. Uman deshavche yanuchalo brachos arashal. And even for the one who's giving the praise. So he's going to receive a bracha. So not only the one receiving the praise, but even someone giving the praise as well. Okay, Hadron Lach HaKoros HaMegillah, Omeid. And that is the end of the third parak of the Masechta. Tomorrow, Mirz Hashem, we start parak number 4.